Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christ Church of Grace. And we are very, very happy to be able to be here and to hear the word of the Lord. And we hope and pray that you will be edified and that you would be uplifted by your presence here as you experience God's love and God's grace. Peace on earth. Beautiful song. We don't have a beautiful world. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's good news coming, and there's good news here. But we do live in a very difficult, difficult land. Peace on earth is what we seek. Peace on earth is what God has promised. But we live in a world of continual war, as one nation is trying to destroy another nation. Doesn't even take nations. It could be the guy or the gal across the street or around the block. There's just something, this evil that is amongst too many people. Not everybody's that way, but there's a lot of conflict in this world. I mean, if you're a Republican, you're against a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you are against a Republican. There's this conflict. There's this evil, warring nature. In the streets, in the cities, in the schools. You have to be concerned about sending your children to school. And if they're dressed the wrong way or their skin color is different from somebody else, they're at risk of being shot to death. I hate to bring and to be a bearer of bad news, but I've got some good news for you too. But first, the bad news. We live in a world of conflict, of warfare. Even whole nations are being eliminated. You have genocide. You have the people in Arabia and in this place and that place. You have people, African Americans, who are choked to death. One young man choked to death who had mental problems. You probably heard about it on the train. All of this, what's going on? What's the problem? We live in a world filled with conflict. You have children fighting children. You have husbands and wives. Whatever level, you have dogs biting you. You have disease. We have all of this going on. Why? What's going on? Why the conflict? Nations against nations. I'm here today to tell you some good news as well. And the good news is Jesus Christ is our peace. There is peace in this troubled world. And Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the end of all the conflict and all the war and all of death. And he is our peace. He is our hope. He is our joy. And we can come together and rejoice together at church today. Because we know that there's something bigger and better, and that this is not going to last, that Jesus Christ is our peace, and he is the end of conflict. He is going to bring an end to it all, and it is going to be a wonderful time, but not right now. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. We don't want to be naive. We want to understand what's going on, though. In Jeremiah, I'm going to read some scriptures to you. And the even title of this sermon is Jesus is our Jehovah Shalom. That means he is our peace. The Prince of Peace. That's another title that Jesus Christ has, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is over peace, the one who reconciles us to God. And I'll talk hopefully a little bit more about that later. He is the one who enables us to stand in his grace. And face to face without fear. Therefore, having been justified by faith. This is what gives me confidence. And I hope will give you confidence that Jesus Christ is our peace. And the confidence comes in and that he has made certain promises. Not based upon what we would do, but based upon what he has done. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, that Jesus Christ has made us right, and we have right standing before God. And it's not based upon what we do or what someone else does to us. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding. We have a peace that is beyond us trying to figure it out or how to make it work. We have peace with God. And this peace with God has been made through Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. Romans 5:1. It's not based on what you do. Now, I know a lot of people have difficulty accepting that, but it's a wonderful truth. It's the gospel that is not dependent upon what I do, but in who I believe. And when you believe in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is the one who can bring us peace. Peace is not at the end of a barrel. Many, many years ago in the South and Southwest, people packed their guns. They pull out their guns. You watch the cowboy movies. And they call that gun a what? Anybody remember? Somebody can help me out. I'm an old man. I can't remember all this. It was called peace. You mean a pistol was called peace? That's right. Can you, some of you help me out with a full name of that gun? Hello? Nobody remembers what it was. Just these old timers like myself. That gun was called a peace. Now, y'all help me here. Can I hear somebody? Can I get a witness? It was called a peacemaker. I've got one person who got it. Who brought it?
Elder Joe.
Well, boy, I didn't know he was as old as I am. And I hope you're making peace a different way. But that gun was called a peacemaker. Because you pull that gun on somebody and you're supposed to have peace. But what if they drew their gun a lot faster than you drew yours and he said, boom, and you're gone? So that peacemaker is not a life keeper. What God is to us and for us is a life keeper and a life maker. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, not with guns and bullets. That's conflict. This world has been in a state of conflict for thousands and thousands of years. And this celebration of Jesus Christ is a celebration because it is a celebration to the end of the conflict, the end of the war, the end of the fighting. It will come. You can believe that, and I believe it, because it's not based upon my gun. It's not based upon me being stronger than somebody else, being able to beat them up before they beat me up. No, it's not based upon that. Romans 5:1 is such a positive, positive scripture. Therefore, having been justified, being made right, not by a peacemaker, which is a gun, but by faith, we have peace with God. Notice what your problem is. Your problem is not your wife. Wives, your problem is not your husband. It's not the kids that's driving you crazy. Oh, no. I'm kidding. No. We have been made right by faith. The problem is being taken care of by Jesus Christ. It has been taken care of by faith and believing in Jesus that we have been made right with God. We don't have to be better than anybody else because there is no level that is greater than that of God, of Jesus Christ. And nothing you can do to be made right, this is not something you earn. This is not something you do. This is something you are given by faith. And nothing and nobody can change it. You can't mess it up. You might say, well, I've been making mistakes all my life. Well, welcome to the club. There's a different way and a better way for you to do it on your own. You can do this through Jesus Christ. God accepts you as if you were Jesus Christ. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. And God accepts you as sinless, as righteous, as holy. That's how he looks at it. That's how the conflict ends. Because it's not based upon a human being doing it or not doing it. I know this is perhaps for maybe some who are hearing the gospel for the first time. This is not just good news. It's great news. It's dependent on him. Some will ask, well, what if I mess up later on? You'll mess up. That'll happen. But it's not based upon what you do, how well you do it. It's based upon what he has done. It says it again. Good news. He has justified those. That you are justified. That you're holy. Therefore, you have been justified by faith. Nothing can change that because you didn't do anything to gain that. We have peace with God. God's not out to get you. God's out to save you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Write it down. Never forget it. Even in your darkest times and your darkest moments, when you've really messed up, you're full of guilt and shame. Remember Romans 5:1. If you remember no other scripture in the Bible. Therefore, I'm reading it again. You have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. If God is pleased with you and you have peace because of his son, it don't matter what anybody else says or thinks. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Never, never, ever forget that. And he says, I'll never leave you. I won't get tired of you. I'll never leave you and have enough of you. You'd have messed up one time too many or forsake you. No matter how many times. So that we can confidently say, we can confidently stand and claim that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And if I got the Lord's got my back, and if he is my helper, how can I fail? You can't. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You don't have to fear anything or anyone in this world. You say, well, what if someone comes up and kills me? Huh, nobody wants that. But God is there to protect you. And if it's time for you to go home and be with the Lord, it's better. It's better. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:5-6. That's a confidence, not in yourself, but in God. In Hebrews 13:5-6. What can man do to me? Superman can't mess with you. Nobody can do anything to you where you are going to be in a negative position afterwards, because there's nothing, no place greater than heaven. Therefore, when others are fainting in fear, we can exalt in our tribulations. You say, oh, I thought it would be a bed of roses. I didn't know it would be some tribulation too. Oh, yeah, because it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make you smarter. It's going to make you whatever God wants you to be. Knowing that tribulation brings on perseverance. That means you don't quit. That you're not a pushover. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Romans 5:3-5. This hope you're hoping on and for that I have and that God gives to you, this is not a maybe hope. Maybe will, maybe don't. No, baby, it is for real. It is can you say it right? From where I'm from, we guaranteed. All right? Guaranteed. Now, if that's your native tongue, I don't mean to make fun of you. I'm talking about myself. Where I grew up, they said, it's guaranteed. And then he put a long teed on there so you'd have confidence. Well, I put the scripture on it so we can have confidence. And it doesn't disappoint. Remember, peace is found only in Jehovah Shalom. You say Jehovah, that's God. Shalom means peace. See, peace is not a bunker somewhere. Peace is not a code 45. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus the Christ. That's what peace is. And peace is found only in him, because that's what he is. In the trials of this earthly life, we will have them. And he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him. That's from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is not stayed on my problems. There's no peace in me. There's peace in he who lives in me, and that is Jesus Christ. And if our minds are stayed on him, the Almighty, and not on our problems, or not on our enemies, our neighbors, our husbands, or our wives, or our children, but on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. The Holy Spirit will fill you, and you will be able to abide in him, being filled with the Holy Spirit, whose fruit is peace. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. So you have the Holy Spirit who's in you, guiding, directing you, and you've got peace from him. And you've got Jesus Christ, who is our peace. The end of conflict. Jesus Christ. That's what God offers us. That's the peace he gives us. That's the peace we can live by. You can't trust anything else. But Jesus is our Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. Therefore, having been justified by faith. You don't have to worry. See, we got a lot of shame. Anybody ever do anything they're ashamed of? I have. Anybody ever do something and you say, I hope no one in my lifetime ever finds out that I did. I can't believe I did that. We all have shame, don't we? Let me tell you something. God took your shame. He took my shame. He took all of your sins. And he puts an end to all of that. Would you like to live worry-free, shame-free, not hiding in the closet? If you could come out, if you come out in him, in his way of life. We live in a world, not too good a world, but it is he who rules this world that we have our peace with and whom we look to. What's the problem? What brings an end to the conflict? As we said, we got all kinds of conflicts, all kinds of ways. Children against children, people against children. We've got wars and rumors of wars. We've got people of different ethnic backgrounds against other people of different ethnic backgrounds. And if you just ship them all out, it will be okay. It will not be okay. That is not the way of God. God loves us. He loves all humanity. The problem is that you and I and everybody who's ever drawn breath, who's ever been born, we have conflict with somebody, and it's not who you think it is. I know. Just do this. No, you know who your conflict is with? You know who my conflict is with? Are you ready for this? Our conflict is with God. I'm going to say it again. A little slower. Your conflict, my conflict, it's not with my neighbor, not with the person on the job, not with those people. Our conflict is with God. For we, as a people, as a person, sin against God. And when we sin against God, we've got a problem. Why? There is no peace in conflict with God. We were born with a conflict. Sometimes we're born with a this or that. But everybody that's drawn breath has been born with a conflict. And that conflict is against God. You're born that way. And he understands that. And he is the way, the truth, and the life to deal with that conflict. But your problem is God. You say, what do you mean, Pastor, that my problem is with God? I go to church. I do this. I do that. Your problem is with God. When you drew breath for the first time, you had a problem. Oh, my sweet little baby. You know, that baby comes here with a problem. Every baby born that's ever drawn breath has a problem. What? Romans 8 and verse 7. You came to church today. I'm sure you brought your Bible, but mine's too heavy. Should have left it home now. You know, you got fancy these days. You got your, you know, doing Twitter and da-da-da-da and this and that and lightweight. Romans 8, 7. Everybody, I'm not just picking on you because you thought I was, that you got a problem. Everybody born has a problem. Romans 8, 7. Anybody over there yet? I'm going slow. I'm going to paraphrase. Romans 8, 7 says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. The sinful heart is hostile to God. So that's a problem. I don't know if you checked the papers, looked at the Bible, and figured out God wins every time. He wins every time. And if you are his enemy, or vice versa, you got a problem. You got a conflict. The sinful nature is hostile to God. You got to be careful who you pick on. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You got a problem. The whole world's got a problem. Because everybody born doesn't want to obey God, does not want to submit to God. Why? Because we think we've got a better idea. That's how Adam and Eve came out. They said, essentially, Adam and Eve, our forefathers, and four grandparents, they wanted to do it their way. God said, this way, this way, this way. He gave them parameters. He blessed them. He says, it'll be good for you if you do it this way. Don't eat that fruit. And guess what? They thought they had a better way. Looks good to me. What you say, Adam? Smell pretty good, too. And they got a problem. So they go out and sin against God. That is, they rebel against him. They're hostile to it. We want to do it our way. God said, no, this is the way. No, that ain't fair. Every person ought to have it. So he gave us our way. Guess what happened? It ended up in death. Death. He warned them. He warned them. They knew better. But now they're all messed up because they always think they as us, by the way, we always think our way's better. Well, why do I have to have it that way? I have a right to do it. You got all kind of rights. But it ain't going to take you nowhere because it's death. And they have this conversation with God. You heard about it. You heard about how they're talking about God, you know. And so said, you know, if you eat, you won't die. And God says, who told you that? Wrong. But we think as adults, as human beings, we ought to be able to do this. We ought to be able to do that. We ought to be able to have anything we want to have. We do it our way. You know, who are you to say that that's wrong? It feels good to me. And if it feels good, do it. And they went and did it. This don't work, folks. Anything you're trying to do just to approve and say, well, I am a human being. Nobody can tell me what to do. And da, 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 da. Some people do it this way. Some people do it that way. God said, hey, we'd have done this many times. One of them said, you know, so-and-so said, if we ate it, we'd die. Who told you that? Or we wouldn't die. This stuff is old. It's old. And God said, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We don't have to be in a war. Because everybody who's born wants to go up against God because they think their way is better and they have a right to make their own decisions about their life. You don't have to be all bad about it. You don't have to be all of this and all of that. Go with your bad self. There have been millions and billions of people that have gone with their bad self and they wish they would have listened. Because being a bad self is not very pleasurable. It leads to death, if you know what I mean. Our problem is with God. Your problem is not with your neighbor. It's not with this, that, and the other. It's with God. And stuff is not going to be right until we get with God. And stop trying to do it our way. Yes, you are an adult. Yes, you're of age. But it still leads to death. They haven't changed the outcome, folks. It's a conflict. And you can't win. It only leads to death. And God says, come to me. I'll give you life. Don't follow what Satan or your friend said, that you won't die. You can do that. You won't die. Why take a chance? But God loves you. He really, really loves you. And the things I'm talking about today, I could go on and on. I won't. From scripture about things. I'll turn a page here and there. Father, I ask even now in the middle of this message, open our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for being in conflict with you. Change our hearts and change our minds. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God will change us if we're willing. You know, God loves us so much. He said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, folks, I'll take your place. I know you didn't listen to me. I tried to tell you 100 times I was doing it through your heart, through your brain, all kind of ways, through hard knocks. You didn't listen. But guess what? I still love you. And because he still loves us, he goes to heaven and takes our place. He comes back and he takes our place. And he becomes like us in every manner except by sin. But he becomes like us that we have now the ability to die. Just like he has the ability to die, just like us. I'm going to say that again. He goes away, comes back. He leaves heaven. That's what I mean, comes back. He leaves heaven and becomes like one of us. He becomes a human being who can hurt, who can die. And he does that for us. And he says, Father, I will substitute for so-and-so over here. I will take on their flesh and their bone. I'll be born as one of them. And I'll take all of the hurt and all the pain, all of the bad thoughts and evil thinking. I won't sin, Lord, but the result of the evil thinking and the evil deeds, I'll take that on. I'll take on the messed up mind and the racing mind. I'll take on the cancer. I'll take on the earthquakes. I'll take on all that they go through, except for sin. I won't sin, but I want to take every experience of evil that they went through, that they have been hurt with and suffered with. I'll take that. And not only take that, I'll be their substitute. I take on all their pain, all their shame. I'll take that. I'll take their place so that they may live. And not just live for the next day, live forever and ever. I'll take their place. That's such a good deal, but I'll take it. And that's what he did for you. Out of love for me and you, he took our place. He came into conflict for us. Took on the conflict. That's what he did. All the pain and suffering. All the craziness. He took it all. So that we could have life and life more abundantly. So that we could have peace and joy. That we could be with the Father forever and ever, even though we have sinned and sinned and sinned. Jesus said, I'll take their place. And that's what he did for us. I'll take their conflict so that they may have joy and peace forever and ever. That, my brothers and sisters, it's about the end of conflict, because it's going to happen. God's going to do it. He and the Father and the Son came together and said, let's do it. Let's do it while we really hurt, where we really bleed, where our nerves are shown bare and we suffer and there is no help for us. We will become human beings. And all the penalties of being a human being and breaking all the rules and laws as human beings without us sinning will take their shame and all their pain. Would you do that for Jesus? Would you do that for every human being in this world, billions and trillions, and all the mistakes they make? Would you say, yes, Father, I take that on for the rest of my life? That's what God has done. That's what this day, the birth of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who took on flesh and sin to end the conflict. Nobody else would do that. But that's what your Savior did, because he loved you so much. And he loved me. He loved us all. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Jesus, for becoming one of us and taking all of our shame and all of our pain. I pray, Father, that you would use this message to change us, to make us more like you, even as you took on us to become more like us in a very evil way, without sin, without you doing evil, took on our evil sins and the penalty for it. Change minds and hearts. Those listening, if you're listening to this, Father, I pray for them that you touch their hearts, that you would say yes to this great blessing, that you will justify them, that you would make them just as if they had never sinned, and that you would give them eternal life. and give them the strength to live this life as you, Jesus, were given the strength. Father, help us to leave this Christmas, this celebration, and go forth like living water, like peace, like a river, flowing your life, Lord, sharing your life with others in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools. Help bring an end to this conflict, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you can do. We cannot do this on our own, but you can do it, Lord. By and through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to go into the Lord's Supper. He gave us his life. I'm going to be quoting 1 Corinthians 11:23-25, where he told them, and he tells us, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And all you've heard today and all that you will hear in years to come, eat of the body of Jesus Christ that he gave for you. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to become flesh and leave his home in heaven that he had for all eternity with the Father. He gave that up and took on, he who knew no sin, took on sin for you and for me. So much he loved us. That's how great that other way of life is. His way of life is life. The other way is death. So he decided to take on death. Amazing love. Would do that. But God. And give his life. So as you eat this bread today, do not be as our forefathers and mothers were, Adam and Eve. God says, don't eat that. They rebelled and ate it. Now Jesus says, eat of me, drink of me. This cup is my blood in the new covenant. I'm given a new deal, a new covenant. That's what God offers. And when we come to the table to eat and to drink of the body and the blood of Jesus through the bread and the wine, we are saying to ourselves and to God that your way is better, that we believe that you are better, that the old way and our old way of doing things in life is not good, it leads to death. But we want life. We want your life. We want eternal life. And we value that. We don't know better than you, God. We don't know better. We want your way. You gave your life for that way so that we could walk in it. So as we eat and as we drink the body and the blood of Jesus, let us affirm the fact that we believe his way is better and it is right. And that we desire you, Lord, more than we desire what we want. Your way is better. Thank you for that, Lord. Do bless this bread now, Lord. Let us experience the power, the wonder, and the glory of your body as we eat of this bread. And as we drink of this wine, let us rejoice that you gave your lifeblood for us. Wow. Wow. You're worthy of all the praise and all of the glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And while we eat the bread and drink of the cup, song is Psalm 23. Psalm that we all have sung or read in our lives. Listen to it carefully. Let the love of God touch your heart. Amen.
to the depths of darkness. Your arms pulled me to the light above there. Your voice spoke the words that broke my heart in. Your eyes burn with holy passion, fire and love. You lead me beside the quiet waters. You are in the shadows of death's darkened door. You tables right before my enemies. You take oil and then you pour it over me. Thank you.
trying to chase me out of your presence. But your word tells me that you have enlarged my footsteps, that my feet may not slip. And because of that, I know that according to Psalms 23, I can speak back to the enemy and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.